This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Rich Bradbury, and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm in the studio with
Arvini Viraj
and Christine Wong.
If you joined us earlier on this morning at around 10 o'clock, we posed a question to you. The question is, should we be encouraging children to play video games? Why or why not? We've got polls running on both Instagram and on Twitter, and of course, you can get us via WhatsApp. If you'd like to, 018-789-8899. Twitter or Instagram, as per usual, is at BFM Radio. We have a lot of responses on Instagram and on Twitter. Not so much on WhatsApp just yet, but I suspect they'll be coming through shortly. That's the story and the question that we'll be running with, and it's based on a story that we picked up and we spoke about briefly, I think it was last month, where we spoke about The Sims and how, for those of you that don't know, it's a very big video game from EA Games about how you essentially create a simulated human. That's originally how it started, I guess, but it's now expanded and you can look after families and one thing or another. We'll talk more about it in a, in a while anyway. But about how that has kind of changed the way in which video games could be presented on TV. A discussion that we'll have. That's one thing. Then we're moving on to TikTok.
Yes. So just why are Gen Z so enamored with TikTok exactly?
You tell me.
I will tell you.
Okay. And then Arvin, who was procrastinating to give us a story, is talking all about
procrastination glasses and how these glasses will help you with your procrastination.
Will they, though?
I guess. Maybe.
Really? I guess.
We'll wait and see.
Right. So what if you took a video game with an obsessively cultish following and made it the basis for a reality TV show?
That's unfair to say obsessively cultish.
Well, that's
not such an immediate reaction.
That's what Electronic Arts, the video game publishing behemoth, recently did with one of their most popular titles, The Sim, a game that first became a phenomenon over 20 years ago when it gave players the ability to build and personalize worlds and populate them with characters who act and behave much like we do. And that it gave birth to something called The Sims Spark. It debuted on TBS's E-League Friday Night lineup and BuzzFeed's multiplayer YouTube channel last month in a four-episode series. What it did differently, though, is if you have ever watched any of the esports stuff, video games live, it very much felt like it was a kind of traditional sports kind of thing, a basketball game or a football game, and it was stadiums full of people watching, you know, a sport. The Sims Spark, of course, didn't look anything like that. It didn't look like a basketball or football game, but it was more like TV, specifically the tried and true format of reality TV, where every nanosecond of programming is milked for maximum emotion and conflict. It was also unique in that its primary goal wasn't to drive interest back to the video game, although that is a happy byproduct. It was simply to entertain. So here's a quote from Todd Citrin. He's the SVP and general manager of EA's competitive gaming entertainment team. He says that everybody for 20 years has been going after the same audience. That's males, hardcore video game players who play strategy games, who play shooter games, and hang out on digital channels. What we're focused on is not just doing that, but opening it up to an untapped audience. If you just look outside of the esports industry, there are so many different types of inspirations that have nothing to do with sports. Indeed, and according to TBS, The Sims Spark reached over 4 million people for its entire run, reaching an average of 769,000 people during Friday night premiere airings. It drew more viewers between the ages of 18 and 34 than any other E-League show on TBS so far this year, and it garnered the second highest percentage of female viewers compared to all other E-League shows that aired on TBS this year. But the success is not only paving the way for other seasons of Spark, it's validated and accelerated EA's overall approach to esports, which has become much broader in recent months. So going forward, they said that while half of the company's gaming broadcasts will be in the more traditional vein of esports programming, a quarter will be esports games layered with a more entertainment-oriented component. For example, just announced that one of their biggest esports franchises, Madden NFL 21, whose latest edition launches next month, will feature a tournament series in which an NFL superstar will face off in a gameplay against a different celebrity, a musical artist, or athlete each week. Sounds very similar to some of the other TV shows that we've seen. Mm-hmm. The remaining quarter of that division will be dedicated to shows like The Sims Sparked, where the main objective is to entertain an audience that goes well beyond the world of gaming. So it's a major pivot from their former ratio. How do you guys feel about this? And let's talk about esports in general. And Arvin's got a smirk on his face. Chris has got a smile. I don't know where to go first. Let's go with Chris first.
So I watched The Sims Sparked. I watched all four episodes. Mm. I fall into every single category that you listed. It's like 18 to 34, female, not like a traditional gamer, and all that jazz. And what I think is part of the appeal is something that YouTube and Twitch have known for years. It's personalities, right? And it's that element of like, that's why gaming channels on YouTube are so popular.
Massive.
We love seeing, and getting to know these people and getting to know these personalities. And I think what sets it apart from a typical esports show is that you're not rooting for like a team. You're rooting for individual people and you're relating to them on a personal level. And, I think it's really smart. I personally don't think The Sims Sparked was the best executed program in the world. And I also think that in, pertaining to the reality TV format, they fell into a lot of the reality TV tropes in terms of editing choices and the way that they portrayed some of the personalities, because also every single person that was featured on The Sims Sparked already has a following on YouTube or Twitch or whatever. They have dedicated kind of fandoms and an audience that were, some of them were quite upset with the way that the people that they looked up and admired, were portrayed, in a negative light on this show.
Because those people had already got their own channels, their own established audience, and then EA kind of came in and the producers
and did the reality TV editing where they were like, oh, look at this person causing drama. And I don't know if that was executed in the best way. I don't think that they intended on angering such a big population of their audience. However, it got people's attention.
And it got you watching.
And it got me watching. And also, I think it was a good test run to see if that kind of format stuck with audiences, and I think it really does.
I think I would go for that format because I don't watch esports and I don't follow any of the channels that play video games, the Let's Play stuff. It's just not for me. But if there were reality shows that followed in a certain concept, like let's say The Last of Us had like a sort of gauntlet reality program where you had to do certain things in a dystopian set, or there was like an Uncharted where you had to go outdoors, like an Amazing Race sort of thing, but set in the world of Uncharted with Uncharted characters and sort of missions, quote unquote, or even God of War, like let's say, then I would watch those shows because I play those video games.
I was just going to say, for people just tuning in case you don't already know, the three of us are gamers. We enjoy playing video games.
Yeah. Who knew?
I don't count myself as, I guess, like a traditional gamer, but I do like
them. Game.
I do. Yeah. But the other thing that I wanted to say was I also think that this kind of format will lend itself really well to games that have some sort of open world feature. That's why The Sims Sparked works well with it, because you are allowed to get very, very creative. It's not a set plot. It's not a set like storyline that you have to go down, so you can actually afford to experiment a little bit with it. And actually, and I don't know if this is going to incite some rage in people, I would love to see a Minecraft reality show. People can get so creative on Minecraft, and there are so many YouTube channels that have, people create, replicas of buildings, cities, pixel art done, but on a bigger scale in Minecraft as well. I would love to see something like that.
With kids. I would love to see it with kids.
Now, the reason we're talking about this, of course, is that there is a huge market, whether it could be argued it's burgeoning, it could be on the verge of explosion, about esports, right? There's a lot of money in it at some point. And so you see a lot of kids who are having this discussion or trying to have this discussion with their parents and their family and their friends about moving into esports, whether or not it's playing video games for a living or helping to develop these video games to be played in the future. And there are people that argue that there are some kids who play video games too much, right? And my parents at one point said I played video games too much. But I would argue that it really helped me in many ways. That's why we're asking this question. Should we be encouraging children to play video games? Why or why not? Let us know what you think. We've also got an opinion coming in very shortly. I managed to get hold of Alexander Fernandez. He's the CEO of Streamline Media Group. heavily involved with some game development. They have Streamline Studios, All Pixels by Streamline Studios, Streamline Games, of course, involved in some of the big names out there. And they have offices here in KL, and we're very proud of what they do. Mm. But that's what we'll be talking to him very shortly anyway. We are going to take a short break whilst we calm down a little bit. 018-789-8899 is the WhatsApp number. Twitter or Instagram, we're at BFM Radio. Music coming up from Jimmy Cliff with The Harder They Come. We'll be right back here on BFM 89.9.
Backing female ministers. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury, in the studio with
Arvind Ibraj
and Christine Wong.
We're asking you a question. Should we be encouraging children to play video games? Why or why not? We've got a poll on Instagram. We have a poll on Twitter. Get to the numbers on Twitter first while Christine goes through Instagram.
Yeah, so it is at 59.7% saying yes, 31.5% saying no, and 8.8% saying other, and there are a lot of others.
Mm-hmm. The thing is, those others that we've asked to tell us what... Tell us what.
Mm. Yeah, so this is Rudzaini, who says that video games are, to an extent, a simulation of the real world. Other than playing for leisure purposes, children will also be able to learn real-world concepts from the comforts of home, like physics of a catapult, economics decision-making process from trading items in an MMORPG. Mm-hmm. My sire says, yes, I assume it's esports games, not the Nintendo arcade games. Esports stimulates the mind, builds teamwork and leadership character into the child, but obviously under strict supervision to ensure education is not neglected.
Mm-hmm. Chris?
On Instagram, we have yes at 79% and no at 21%. So wow. Everyone's very video game friendly on Instagram. Faye.ee says, depends on what games, for critical thinking mostly. And Chris Flo says, at a limited time, I believe it helps brain stimulation in trying to overcome obstacles.
Now, we have a lot of messages to get through, but we did manage to get hold of Alexander Fernandez. He is the CEO of Streamline Media Group. They've worked with some of the biggest names in the industry. They helped out with Street Fighter. They've helped out with Marvel vs. Capcom, Final Fantasy. I sent him a message, and it could have been very early in the morning. So, Alexander, if you're tuning in, I do apologize for that. But here's what we asked him. Alexander.
Hi, BFM. This is Alexander Fernandez coming to you from Las Vegas, Nevada. I really appreciate you having me on your show today. So the first question here is, do you think that children play too many video games nowadays? Honestly, my answer to that is it really depends on what you define as a video game. If we're talking about traditional entertainment video games, I can see that, yes, kids right now, barring the fact they have nothing else to do during this MCO or lockdown phase around the world, have been playing quite a bit of video games. But it's actually warranted, given the fact that a lot of them are not able to socialize or actually speak with their friends or play outside. So I think they need to have something to do. However, at the same time, if we're also talking about video games in general, which are being used to educate and teach kids, I think that they can't play enough. And honestly, there are websites like PBS.org, which is the Public Broadcasting Corporation in the United States, which is releasing video games to educate and teach children. I think it's very fundamental to the fact and need of the developing minds of children. I think that we have to understand that not only are they learning from games, but we're also seeing other industries leverage video games in order to teach people to do their jobs, whether that's in serious games or VR type simulations. So it really is something to take a look at it and say, are people getting too much entertainment? Well, sure. Are people getting too much interactions and engagement with technology that basically allows them to understand their world around them in a better way or the data that they're looking at? Then no. So I think we just have to understand the fact that there's a time and place for everything, and that really just comes down to parents doing what parents do best, which is raising children. The next question is, what would you tell parents who think that their kids are playing too much? Okay, so here's the thing. This is a loaded question. You know, obviously, everyone understands how to raise their children best and does it to the best of their capability. But I truly believe that the role of a parent is to understand what the limits are of the time their children are using in any specific subject, field, or activity. I understand this sounds like a really difficult answer, but honestly, we have to parent. I'm 39 years old. I have two children. And I know I spend most of my time with my kids off the computer. Yes, I make video games for a living, but when I want to spend time with them, we play board games, we go outside, I take them camping, things that I want to do because honestly, I don't want to be behind a computer screen all day. I think what it comes down to is basically this, is that if you feel that your children are paying too much or playing too much, spending too much time on their screen, then it's up to you to basically find a way to get them off that by literally taking it away, going outside, and showing them something that you used to enjoy doing as a kid. Now, I know that sounds very quaint, but honestly, in the end of the day, we have to connect to our children. And I think that it comes through things like baking, things like camping, things like building things and spending time and telling stories. Those are things we can do. And one thing I do definitely do with my daughter is I like photography, so I taught her how to shoot, how to take pictures. And then we go out there and we shoot the cameras together. And that's just been something that we do together in order to actually have fun, connect, and bond. The next question here is, what are the positive aspects of playing video games? Well, honestly, one of the most important aspects of playing video games is the understanding of context. Video games help you understand quite quickly rules, specifications, and processes. One, for instance, you got to think about is that most video games teach you in a relatively short amount of time how to understand the world you're interacting with, what the rule of that world is, at the same time, how to succeed and accomplish things together. I truly believe that video games at this moment in time have taught millennials, Xennials, and actually Gen Z, how to self-organize, how to basically be results-driven, how to be oriented towards an objective and goal, something that all businesses require. So the benefits here are the fact that people are able to actually comprehend things quite quickly, how to assess data quickly, and more importantly, how to effectively understand cause and effect based on instant results that come in when playing a game. Now, the other side of positive aspects to video games is the fact that it inspires people to get into science, technology, engineering, art, and math, that's STEAM, not just STEM. And I think it's very vital because in the end of the day, the world we're living in and the world the kids are inheriting is one in which data, visualization of data, interaction, user interface, engagement is going to be key to every business. There's a push for digital transformation of industry across all sectors, not just the digital space, that is definitely calling upon these skills. And these are skills that are found primarily in the video game space that are now bleeding into other industries. So from that standpoint, I think children who basically play games and understand how they work and get curious about how they work have a bright future ahead that allows them to actually get ahead in terms of not only employment, but also being curious about how things work, which I think curiosity in itself is just something that's important. Now, the last question here is it a viable, legitimate career option? Or do you have to be the best of the best to succeed? So let's talk about viable career option. I think in the end of the day, a career in video games is very possible. It's a great industry. It also pays very well. Effectively, knowledge economy has always paid well. But it's important to understand that making a video game and the skills that are necessary to make games is very different than playing a video game. So remember in my last comment, you have to be curious about the world. You have to be eager to learn. I think this is something that is very key in wanting to be in the video games industry. You have to understand that the skills you acquire over time, they do form a basis of knowledge. However, they do decay if they're not being applied to on a constant and consistent basis. The reality is that our industry is always changing. Every 6 months, something new happens. Every 5 years, a new console is released, which requires people to understand and stay relevant. If you don't like to stay relevant, if you don't like challenges, if you lack grit, if you lack dedication, if you want the easy way out, if you want to be rich for no work, do not get into video games. However, if you want to be passionate, rewarded for your efforts, find ways to actually connect and grow, travel the world, see what opportunities there are, and always be fulfilled with what you do, video games is certainly there, as well as the entrepreneurship that's available in video games. And I think this is something that people kind of overlook. There's a tremendous amount of opportunity in the video game space. And I think for parents to encourage their children to understand technology, to understand how things are made, that's just setting up the children for pure success. So I, for one, would definitely say, yes, there's absolutely a future in video games if your children want that. But it's important for them to understand making games and playing games are so different that at one moment in time, you can't even really say they're the same thing. But I mean, that's what I love about it. And it's something that's taken me around the world. And I've been doing this for 20 years now. So I definitely it's something to be said that they should look at it. Now, in regards to being the best of the best, how does one become the best of the best? Well, just like in any skill, in anything you do in life, practice, dedication, and absolute determination to keep getting better at it. There is no other way through this. You will grind. You will work hard. You will want to give up. But you will get up and smile every day, day in and day out, understanding that if you truly want to be in this space, you will constantly reinvent, constantly learn, constantly be pushing yourself to get there. Now, one could say, yes, there are other positions in which you maybe don't have to work as hard, but in the new realm of COVID and the reality we're all living in, working hard and being results oriented is exactly what you're going to have to be, especially now when most of us aren't even working in an office space. So it's something that I would say here, have the grit, be accountable, work yourself all the way to the top, because that's exactly what it takes. I hope that works for you guys. Thanks again for having me on air. My name is Alexander Fernandez. I am CEO of Streamline Media Group, coming to you from Las Vegas, Nevada. I hope you guys all have a great morning, great day, great evening, or whatever time this is playing at, and have some nasi lemak for me. Thanks.
I love the way he has to keep reminding us where he is.
Yeah.
But then has that little bit of localization at the end. Have some nasi lemak. We will, indeed.
You will.
He did have a final thought, though. Alexander, just give us your final thoughts.
One other thing that comes to mind if parents are concerned their children are playing too much video games is for the parent to actually play the game with their children and see what they're doing. One thing that is available is that there is a genre called couch co-op, which generally lends itself towards family play. We just released a game called Bacon Switch for Switch. Well, actually, pre-sales just opened. The game comes out on the 10th of September. And that game's completely geared towards multiplayer with your family and friends. Really, what it just comes down to is parents should take an interest in finding out what games their kids are playing and see if they find them entertaining. In the end, before you start throwing words at your kids, just make sure that you see and play with them, and you never know. You might just become a gamer yourself.
You never know. You might just become a gamer yourself. Mm-hmm. On that note, we're going to take a short break before we come back with some of the feedback. Thank you very much, Alexander, CEO of Streamline Media Group. Music coming up from Joan Armatrading with Drop the Pilot. We'll be back in just a few minutes on Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.